Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thou art worthy of all praise and glory. We've come to assemble ourselves together round about thy word. And it is our prayer, as thy children gather together, that thou would bless thy word, and that thy spirit would speak to each and every one of our hearts to guide and direct us in the truth. And as we have been encouraged and blessed in this morning hour, we pray that same blessing yet again this afternoon, that we may be guided through the meditation and through the reading, through the prayers and our conversations afterward, that we might be guided unto thee, to be believing thee, and to see thee in time to come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's help, I desire that we would turn together to read from Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43.
Nađena je knjiga proroka Isaije, 43. glava.
Isaiah was one that prophesied in a time when Israel was taken captive by Assyria. Their country was ripped to shreds and their people were scattered, and Judah would follow soon afterwards. And these are the words of the Lord in that time. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings. Neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. And the Lord bless the reading of his word.
O God, our Father, who art in heaven, we kneel before thee, humbled by the chapter that we have read, a chapter where we see, O Lord, that thou art a creator of Israel. Thou art the redeemer of Israel, and thou art also the sustainer of Israel. Thou hast also created us. Thou hast taken, O Lord, the dust of the ground and breathed the spirit of life into it to become human beings who rebelled against thee, who denied thee. And thou hast taken us, O Lord, out of our state of slavery and sin and redeemed us. And thou, O Lord, doth love us and doth sustain us and give us and gives us, O Lord, the ability, the strength, the means to which we can serve thee. So we see, O Lord, that thou art also our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. As we pray, Heavenly Father, that each of us would listen when thou, Lord Jesus, will bring about an Ethiopia and an Egypt into our lives. As thou didst use those nations to discipline thy creation, thy nation, O Lord, and to bring them to their knees before thee. O Lord, it is thy mercy and thy kindness that Israel was in slavery and being used by men as mockery so that they would see that their help lies in none other but in thee. So that we also, O Lord, would see that there are many things that take place in our lives, O Lord, that are meant to discipline us, to bring us to our knees, that we would realize who we are before Thee, that we are nothing, we have no control over nothing, O Lord, but that we would put our dependence, our trust in Thee, fall upon our knees before Thee, cry out unto Thee, and Thou, O Lord, art our sustainer. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that each of us in this afternoon would feel the prodding of Thy Spirit, that we would move in unity with Thy Spirit, O Lord, that dwells in us. Thy Spirit, O Lord, which is with us to point us to none other than to Jesus Christ, the one whom we are to look upon to see how do we walk through this world, so that we would look upon Jesus Christ to see how we act, how we interact with others, what we do with those who are in need, those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who need clothed. And we look to Thee, O Lord, to see how do we treat an enemy? How do we treat those who use us? How do we treat those who mock us, make fun of us? O Lord, we will see the perfect example in Jesus Christ. And Thy Spirit will always point us to our Savior, to our Creator, to our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. And O Lord, it is but for us to look upon Thee, to look upon Thee so that we would be able to die to ourselves, to walk in newness of life. O Lord, we have been called with a great calling. Thou hast called us, O Lord, to a position that cannot be found on this earth, a position of greatness that is only shown through meekness, that we are called the sons and daughters of a living God, that we have the Spirit of God within us, pointing the way, shining the light, so that we also, O Lord, would be able to display Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So, Lord, we pray that this afternoon hour, Thou would move in our midst and move in our hearts, O Lord, and bring us to our knees, so that we would be humbled before Thee, that Thou, O Lord Jesus, would lift us up, that Thou, O Lord Jesus, would fight our battles through the power of Thy Spirit as we yield unto Thee. So bless us, be with our dear brother as he would speak from this word, that, Lord Jesus, each of us would receive a blessing from Thee, O Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I so appreciate when we pray together, especially the thought of this word that was penned so long ago to a nation that was facing desperate times and was about to receive the recompense of their deeds. They did not deserve a word of kindness or love or encouragement or mercy. They had failed, they had fallen. And so many throughout these chapters in Isaiah speaks of the idolatry that had been adopted by the people and the vanity of it. They failed to bring the sacrifice unto God who made them. But the word that has stood out as we have read and we meditate on this is that even though the Lord was about to pour out this judgment that was well known that would come to pass, He tells them, "Fear not." And He speaks to them with a tender love. And just as was prayed, could it be that in this day, in this generation of turmoil, in this generation of the threatening of the powers of this world, whether religious or secular, that breathe down our necks, as we were told repeatedly over and over and over again, to threaten us, that there would be a still small voice, that there would be a cool, refreshing wind of the Spirit, of God speaking of Himself to us, that we would hold on to with all that we have, with all of our faith, and believe it beyond what we hear day in and day out from this world. God's plan will come to pass. There will be a gathering of His people, and there will be gathering of the kingdoms of this world for judgment. It will come. And all of the things that are leading up to it will come. All of God's promises are true. Because God will be glorified, His name will be exalted, and every knee will bow to the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And for His sake, He has called a people unto Himself to cleanse, to purify, and to make His witnesses upon this earth. I, even I, am He that blotteth thine transgressions for mine own sake. We read in the New Testament of what the Lord has done for us. What Jesus Christ has paid to achieve in salvation for our souls, that we could be redeemed, that we could be brought near to God. Now it is now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely. The word that's used there is the same word that was used when they spoke of Jesus. Being justified freely. There's no cause within us that brought about God's mercy and extended hand of love to us. The same word that was used when they said they hated Jesus without a cause. There was no reason that they hated Him within Jesus. There was no guile in Him or reason to be hated. And without a cause, they hated Him. And so also, the love of God that was extended to us was also without a cause in us. But for His sake. Because God is who He is, and He doesn't change. May we be drawn to Him and His tender word of love, as He even calls His people to repentance, to trust and faith in the Lord, and He called even this remnant that would be preserved. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name, and thou art mine. These are the words of God to the nation that He had called out to Himself. And there's one question that we can reflect upon as we read these words, is that could God speak this to me, that He has formed me, that He has designed me and created me for His purpose, that He has redeemed me, that He's bought me with a precious price, the blood of Jesus Christ, that He's called me and you by our name, that He doesn't just teach in theory, but He speaks our name and calls us to walk with Him and to be close to Him, and that we would be not our own, but owned by Him, that we would be His, and that He would be ours, and that we would possess one another as that pearl of great price, that most precious treasure. I know that every parent in this room knows exactly, well, to some extent knows and understands what God is talking about here. He is yearning with a deep desire for the ones that he loves. And every parent knows and understands about that sort of love for their children. And I can't describe that to someone who hasn't had children because I didn't understand it the way I do now. Only thing that I could maybe bring is the understanding of the love of Jesus Christ that I accepted as a single person when I looked into his eyes of forgiveness and mercy and grace. And I knew how much he yearned for me. And he yearns for you at the same way. And he wants to call you his. He does not want you lost in this world, in confusion and darkness. He wants you to know that there are hard times ahead. And maybe you've been through hard times before, and they've been discouraging and disheartening. Well, you need the Lord then. And you need to know the promises of God and what it means to belong to him and be that, how good to be a part of the flock of God and be to have him as our shepherd. They were going to go through judgment and discipline. There would be a time when they would be threatened to go through floods. And it would come up to the knees, and it would come up to the waist, and up to the neck. And they would be tempted to fear. They would be tempted to be turn around. But God says, I will be with thee through the rivers, but they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shalt the flame kindle upon thee. These are the words that the Lord spoke before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the flames. And it's the word of God that was their strong foundation and their assurance as they went in that God would be with them. It's the word that they saw. But as they testified of their faith in God, as they went through the fire, King Nebuchadnezzar saw a fourth one with them. And he could tell that they had been with God and that he was with these children of Israel. And we are to be witnesses that we have been reborn, that we have been changed, and the Lord is living within us, and that he is alive, and he rules and reigns, and he's a king of his people. He's called us to be witnesses, just like Peter was a witness of Jesus and his miracles and the transfiguration. And of Christ on the cross, and the resurrection, and the empty tomb. He was witnesses of these things. And his words and his life demonstrated the truth that Jesus Christ is alive. And we're called to be that witness to this world today. And there's going to be tests. There's going to be refining. There's going to be things that are very uncomfortable. But the Lord promises that when we yield to him, there's no temptation that can overtake us that's stronger than we can bear with his help. For every soul to know the truth of the power of prayer and faith in God, even as was mentioned this morning, it's a thrilling thing to take God at his word and to trust him without anything else to trust in and to see him work in spite of our weakness, in spite of our frailty, and help us to overcome and to bring us through times of hardship, times of temptation, so that we could be victors in the Lord and that he would work that salvation for us. He has given much, all these countries. We are precious in his sight. He has loved us. Fear not, for I am with thee. And that's the word. That's the word that he sends us into this sin-darkened world, this world that is heavily oppressed by forces both religious and secular, for the purposes of Satan and the purposes of mankind in aggregate. But the purposes of God will not be thwarted. He said, I will bring thee from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. There will be a gathering of God's people. And though the world would seek to keep this from happening and to separate God's people from each other, God's purposes will come to pass. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Particularly designed in our own very different sort of way in which God has expressed his creative genius and his perfection in timing and putting us where we are, when we are, for his purpose. We come to him that he can fill in the blank of the question of our purpose and our meaning and the specific actions that we need to take. But he has created us. He's formed us. He's taken particular interest and time in making us the way that we are. And sometimes we question that and wonder why this way and why I can't have this strength or that strength. Do you ever question or wonder why certain failures have arisen? Or certain weaknesses or deficiencies in just this flesh that just seem to appear? Sometimes God can use those humbling failures to keep us from the sort of strength that can harm our souls. Self-reliance, pride. And it's those humbling failures that remind us of how much we need the Lord, how much we depend upon him day by day. He's formed us in a particular way, not to continue so that we can just continue in the way that we're particularly bent or apt, but that we would come to him with our all and ask us and ask the Lord to shape us into the image of Christ, because we see that we need him. Isaiah says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes. From chapter 40, probably to the end of the book, this theme of blind and deaf comes up over and over. And it's always referring to those who are serving idols. And so God is inviting, bring every idolater. Let them have their time to speak and be convincing and say their words and see if they can justify themselves. See if they can say things that were old and say things that were come to pass in the future. Let's have it. Let's see it. Let's give man every opportunity to weigh the options that are before them, but also present the word of God that is unchanging, powerful, through the witness of the scripture, through the witness of God's servants, the witness of Jesus Christ and his testimony. Why? Because, like we heard this morning, we have a choice. God has given us a choice, and he's willing to let somebody speak and have their time to declare their strong arguments against God, but they'll all come to naught. Ye are my witnesses. Why? So that you might know me, and that the world might know God, and that they might believe in God, that they may understand that I am He, that our lives and our testimony would bring forth a clear testimony of Christ in us, and that before Him there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Word of God, eternal, made flesh. There is no other Savior. There's not even a close tie for second. How precious He is, and how much the prayers of the saints are for those who are still outside of His fold, that you would know Him, that you would hear the Word. One of the first sermons in the church that was spoken in Acts chapter 3, it says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." The word is preached so that you would have an opportunity to receive from God the refreshing truth of the gospel. Repent and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. And it hasn't changed. Reminder after reminder of Jesus Christ, that He is the Savior. There is no other. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. God is all-powerful. And there are powerful forces and influences in this world, but nothing can match the power of God. There's no weapon that would be formed against us that could stand if we are in His hand, if we are in His care, if we are in His will that's revealed in Jesus Christ. I will work. And that's our trust. That's our hope. That God will work with us. When we place our faith and trust in Him, we don't know exactly how everything will turn out. But we believe and know that God will do His work. And as we yield to Him, and as we give our diligence even, as we surrender our will, I will work. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon. It was for their sake that He sent them to conquer, and also for their sake that He would cast down the Babylonians, because they wouldn't rule them forever. There was a certain allotted time. And the Lord brings a picture of the sea, and the Lord making a way through the sea, talking about the chariots and the horse and the powers and all of them going away. And a very vivid picture of Moses and the children of Israel crossing through the Red Sea as they did in the past is brought to mind. And we remember the things that God has done in His faithfulness. But then He says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. He asks a question. Shall ye not know it? Do you not know the Lord? Shall ye not know the new and living way that Jesus Christ has made through his death and resurrection? Why, if not? The word says, if ye hear his voice, no, sorry, it doesn't say that. It says, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Is that a desire of your heart? To see the work of God today in your life, in the temptations that you go through, in the challenges that you face, in the way that you process and that you, the perspective that you put onto your life. Do you want that? If you will, if that is your will, if that is your desire, do not harden your heart. Allow God to speak and listen. If you will hear him, let him speak. You have the key to that door. And as he knocks, if you will, you may open. He will come in. He will sup with you. So many things could be said. The word is so true and so powerful. I trust that the Holy Spirit would take the words from this scripture, apply them to our hearts and lives, and teach us to look up to Jesus Christ, see his eyes of mercy, forgiveness, and how he yearns for each and every one. And that we would love him and adore him. Amen.
He'd broken the covenant. We've all followed in that example. So none of us can expect pardon, except it is a call upon Christ, a call to him. It must be followed by repentance, by a newness of life, by a hatred of sin, by love towards God. He tells us here, thou hast not called me. You've been weary of me. You're tired of Jesus. You're not calling on him. Why? Because you don't want him. You grow weary of him. And yet, what does he do for all of that? He says, I am he that will blot out your transgression. For his mercy's sake, for his promise's sake, for his son's sake. Where have we ever seen an example of a creator who has created us and his creation rejects him, hates him, grows weary of him, doesn't want him, and what does he do? He gives his life for that same rebellious people for his son's sake. His love for us, if it doesn't move us, fear won't. Nothing will move us. This repentance must be followed by a newness of life. And he says here, I will not remember thy sins. So, dear ones, are we of the number? Do we ever get weary of him? Weary of calling upon him? He doesn't forsake us. We always forsake him. And we close with a hymn, blessed are they that hear the word of God. And it doesn't stop there. It doesn't keep it. May we all be among that number that heard the word and now keep it. Amen.